How do you define what this Raptor team is and what their real chances are in the absence of Kyle Lowry? Leo Rotens joins us, and I don't know whether he'll be able to answer that question or not.
Sure he will.
Can you answer that question, Mr. Rotens?
Well, I'll do my best. Here's what, you know, the most important thing to me is when Kyle was playing and the Raptors had that rough patch, significant players, meaning Patrick Patterson, DeMar DeRozan, you know, spent time away. They were injured. They weren't 100%. And, you know, this team, you know, I think people confuse depth with bodies. The Raptors had bodies, and a lot of people thought that they had plenty of depth. But if you look at the bodies that you're talking about a Lucas Nogueira that, you know, finally getting some minutes in his career, a Jakob Poeltl, a rookie, a Siakam, a rookie. You know, you go through the list, you know, a Norm Powell, second year, second round player, through the list of guys, and you're saying, you're realizing, you know, this is a young group. And what gets lost and kind of everything that's been happening, going into this season, Raptors are the third youngest team in the NBA. The team they're chasing, Cleveland Cavaliers, the oldest team in the NBA. So when you look at all the factors and say Kyle, you know, even with Kyle Lowry, when they dropped enough, had enough injuries, they couldn't absorb it. Now without Kyle, you pick up some new bodies, and I think you some tremendous pieces that I think are really going to play dividends once everybody's back in the mix. But without Kyle Lowry now, you have the same situation the Clippers had. When Chris Paul went down, Clippers man for man, their depth, you would put up ahead of Toronto. But without Chris Paul, they struggled.
Didn't matter, and, yeah.
And I think the Raptors are actually better off as a team, but they're going to have their struggles during this period.
My question would be, Leo, is if a team is only, and I know this isn't exactly what you're saying, but I think you'll get the drift of my question. If a team is only good when one player is playing and otherwise struggles, is it a good team? In other words, shouldn't a good team would be able to withstand the loss of even its most significant player, if we believe that's Kyle Lowry, better than the Raptors have shown at least in two out of the last three games?
Not necessarily, because you're looking right now, as far as the timing goes. Right now, you've got a midseason training camp going on.
Right.
You know, you got two new players that are not familiar with the system and just getting used to everybody. Patrick Patterson was out for a significant amount of time. He's come back in. DeLon Wright, you know, hasn't played till now, and he's getting back into the mix. So when you look at it, no, they're going to go through this. So when you look at everything in totality, you know, DeMar, the injuries that were going out, you know, Kyle being out now, you're still holding up at being one of the top four teams in the league, I should say in the Eastern Conference, with a very good opportunity, with a little gelling, some good luck as far as injuries go, and eventually getting Kyle back of being a top three team, which is your goal. And you've beaten the teams that you're competing with directly, Boston. You have the tiebreaker with Washington. And so you're in a great situation. And so should you do better? Hey, yeah, sure. You can always hope you don't have a stinker, you know, where you just don't show up to play. You can always hope that, you know, you play a little bit better in some of the games that you're losing. But the reality is you're right there. And if everything can come together, which I believe it can, and health is on your side, you're going to be in a great position come playoff time, as long as you can put yourself in those top three spots.
Give me your analysis of Damari Carroll's performance this year. I think it's safe to say he's been puzzling and disappointing, and injuries have been a factor since he came over from Atlanta. But are you disappointed in what Damari Carroll has contributed to this team?
At this right now, no. And I can't be disappointed up to say December because injuries were the biggest issue, right? He never got on track, never got going, missed a significant amount of time, including the summer where he could train and get ready to play. What was lost, in my opinion, during the struggles when DeMar and Patrick went down and everything, DeMar started to come into his own. All of a sudden, you're starting to see more of what the Raptors saw when he's with Atlanta. And I think that now you're getting a guy that's pretty decent. But he's also a guy that, and I think this gets lost a little bit, he's a guy that depends on other people. When the ball is moving, when, say, Kyle's rolling, DeMar's rolling, and the ball's going in and out, DeMar's a slasher. He's a cutter. He's a guy that'll spot up and hit the three. He's going to generate something out of his defense and get going. So when the picture's good, he could be really good and a nice fit. When you're struggling, he's not the kind of guy that's going to just pick everything up and carry. He's just not that guy. So sometimes he's going to look worse. The team is not looking too good. But as we saw in the glimpses over that stretch when you're struggling, health-wise and his game-wise, I think he's come around. So when everything comes together, I'm actually optimistic about what he's going to be able to bring to the table for a playoff run. I hope I'm right, but I've had a lot of reason as far as my observation to believe that could be the case.
I want to go back to what you were talking about, sort of they're going through a training camp period. So they picked up Tucker and Ibaka. Can you quantify or explain to us how much of an adjustment should there be? How long should it take for two veteran players like that? We know when a guy goes to a different football team, he's got to learn a whole new playbook, maybe all new terminology, all kinds of stuff. How much difference is there likely to be for a veteran player who moves from one team to another?
Not huge for these guys because they are veteran guys. They're vocal guys. Their defense, they're really in tune at the defensive end, which is a huge thing for Dwayne Casey and this team. Offensively, a guy like Tucker, you really don't do anything for him. He knows how to play. He'll find his game. And Ibaka has played with guys that dominated the ball in Oklahoma City. So he understands how to find a way to get his. But I think it's beyond, you know, what it's going to take for these two to get acclimated. As what I said before, Patterson was out for a significant amount of time. Has been kind of up and down offensively. Defense is good, but up and down offensively. Getting used to playing with DeLon Wright. And now here's the catch. They all have to figure it out without Kyle, Kyle makes it just easier for everybody. And then they're going to have to figure it out with Kyle. So when you're talking about time period or, you know, how short or long, that's the tough part. It's really everybody else along with them, not just getting those two guys in the mix. I'm really not worried about these two guys because of their basketball IQs and what they bring to the table and how they play. It's more worried about the whole picture and timing wise, but there's plenty of time to still have, you know, relative success to be a top three team and prep for the playoffs and be ready when the time comes.
How do you incorporate Valanciunas into this offense with Ibaka there and the desire, even necessity, to put the ball in his hands at least a few times every game? And it would seem that that almost invariably will take touches away from your center. How do you do that?
Well, I really think, you know, Valanciunas is important, and I think his importance is going to come in the postseason as much as anywhere else, as we saw last year when the game slowed down, it becomes more of a grind. I think my personal opinion is a better effort has to be made to incorporate him. And it's not really taking away from anybody. I'm a firm believer that the game is played inside out. I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you're a 3-point, you love it and you think it's the greatest thing in the world, your threes that come from going in and out are better than anything you get. And you look at San Antonio, you look at Golden State, that ball gets into the paint consistently all the time. And that's why they get so many great threes. Jonas Valanciunas and other guys can give you that. Now, there's another factor, aside from really trying to find a way to integrate him a little bit more, it comes down to Valanciunas as well. I've said it in the podcast a couple times that, you know, he's got to make a case. He's got to make it really hard for the coaches to say, you know, no, we're not going to put him in right now. And I think at times he's been making it really easy for them to say, you know, hey, we're just going to go small. You know, defensively, he's just got to move his feet. He's just got to say, you know, hey, I got Ibaka now. I got Tucker. I got some help. I can go out and I can commit. I can stop jumping at guys 20 feet away from the basket. I got to be smarter and then demand the ball. Like, get ticked off. He has every right to grab DeMar, to grab Kyle, grab whoever's on the floor and say, give me the ball. Okay, I'm setting screens. I'm getting rebounds. Give me the ball. And when you do that, two things happen. One, your own confidence level rises. That means you're going to deliver. When you get that ball, you know, you can't go up soft. You've got to deliver. But the second thing that happens is you get respect from the guys you're playing with. I mean, this isn't Europe. You've got to earn your respect. And being slightly sometimes is what you have to do to get people's attention. And I think sometimes he's forgotten about, but he can change that. So there's a few dynamics going on with Valanciunas and the whole situation, but I think he could be a big part of the solution if he can get his head up right now and get confident and just be a little bit more assertive, understanding what he's got to do to stay on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, we got to go, but we're out of time. But I don't disagree with that assessment, but I think sometimes they pull the trigger on him a little bit too quick. I mean, 9 points, 5 rebounds in the first quarter the other night, and then he basically doesn't touch the ball and gets almost nothing the rest of the way, and that's sort of a common theme here. Mm-hmm. We got to go.
And players got to see that too, because the ball was moving, and the offense was much better, as we said, going through them. So
yeah,
that's a recognition on everybody's part.
Thanks, Leo, as always. We'll talk again soon, I hope. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.